Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Ontario government is proposing to consolidate 36 conservation authorities into 7. A new central agency will provide oversight, strategic direction, and a single point of contact. As is often the case, the government argues it will save costs and create efficiency. But what will this mean for the Ganaraska Region Conservation Authority? Formed in 1946, it is one of the oldest authorities. Its two major jobs are to protect the source waters for the region and flood control. This ensures the integrity of well water for many rural residents and prevents erosion and devastation along waterways. In today's interview, Port Hope Deputy Mayor Vicky Mink, Chair of the GRCA, will talk about the potential changes and what it means for the western half of Northumberland County. I'm very pleased to welcome to Consider This Northumberland Port Hope Deputy Mayor and GRCA Chair Vicky Mink. Good to see you today.
Nice to see you too. Thank you for inviting me.
Before we get into the details, what was your reaction when you learned of the Ontario government's plan to consolidate the current 36 conservation authorities into 7?
My first reaction was surprised. I was not expecting this. It came as a great surprise.
Was there any inkling at all that this was coming down the pipe?
There had been some conversation that an announcement would be coming, which may involve some change. From my perspective, I was not expecting this, no.
There are those, however, that say this was a poorly kept secret and that this has been part of a sort of an overarching agenda to consolidate things like health units, which we just witnessed in the last little while. School boards is another one, along with conservation authorities. Would you agree that that's been a trend?
Yeah, I think that is a trend. So looking back, you know, putting it into that perspective, I guess you could say yes, it was sort of the writing on the wall, you might say. But when you're involved in day-to-day business and you're performing your job and you're doing what you're doing and nothing seems alarming or anyway concerning, you just do your job and then it comes as a little bit of a surprise. Yeah.
The Ontario government has passed 4 bills previously that changed the rules governing conservation authorities. This has included reducing the influence over development, the weakening of the ability to protect water quality and wetlands, and the ability to have decisions overruled by the minister. How have these previous changes impacted the GRCA?
So are you saying those previous bills or the one that they're suggesting right now, which is Bill 68, the Plan to Protect Ontario Act, which is where these changes are falling under?
It's my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there have been previous pieces of legislation that have slowly eroded the scope of what authorities have done in the past. And I am referring to those kinds of things. How have those previous changes impacted the GRCA?
Well, so being on the GRCA, every conservation authority functions quite differently. Everyone has a different, we'll say, palette to work with. So the GRCA has been very resilient in changing and adapting to these changes. So yes, there's been some scale back in the services that they offer. There's been some changes in the funding models, but they've adapted, and not just with the acts, but things like COVID-19 that has happened. Obviously, everybody needed to adapt to those. So with my experience with the GRCA, whatever has been put in front of them, they've adapted. They haven't had this impact their levy that they put on to the participating municipalities at all. They've been able to cope and manage with whatever comes their way.
So let's shift gears now and we'll talk about the current proposal. Can you describe how this consolidation affects the boundaries of the GRCA?
So for the GRCA specifically, what's going to happen right proposed. So let's make that clear that this isn't final yet. This is still going through a period of feedback and further consideration. So if it does happen, the 36 conservation authorities in Ontario will merge into 7. So the GRCA will merge into one of those 7 called Eastern Ontario, I believe it's called. So the boundaries will change. It goes from Whippy and Oshawa up to Haliburton, over to Cloyne, which is right near Bon Echo, and all the way out Napanee and kind of north of Kingston. So a vast area.
Do you have any idea of the acreage or the mile? Just like some idea to put the scope on just how huge that is? I mean, it sounds massive.
And I should. And I heard a quote of how many multipliers of Prince Edward Island it is going to be. But it is absolutely massive. And I think it's very important to consider that we have Whippy Oshawa, very urban, up Haliburton, Cloyne, the Canadian Shield, and then we have agricultural farmland in between, and then we have Lake Ontario shoreline. So very, very different geological, geographical, demographics across the board.
I'm just curious, what was that multiplier of the size of Prince Edward Island?
I shouldn't quote it. I think I heard 3 times the size, but I might be wrong. So I didn't want to quote that.
The provincial environment minister, Todd McCarthy, argues the current system, and I'm quoting here, is fragmented, outdated data systems exist, and there is a patchwork of standards and service delivery. Is that true?
Well, I would like to see the data to prove that. I can't say it's not true for all conservation authorities. There may be some smaller conservation authorities out there who have different reasons why they're struggling. There's some that small municipalities, there's not a lot of levy, there's different challenges with their landscape, maybe they may not have revenue sources. So there could be some out there that are struggling that potentially could merge with other conservation authorities. But from what I have seen when I go to the annual general meetings and the quarterly meetings where all the conservation authorities gather, they seem very functional, very collaborative. They're moving business. Things are moving along. I can tell you locally at the GRCA, every day is business as usual. So if that is a true statement, I would like to see more evidence to show that.
For listeners, would you be able to describe the data systems at the GRCA? I mean, what is he talking about when he says outdated data systems?
So at the GRCA, they use very, I would say, very advanced technological systems. They use sonar, LIDAR, GIS systems. These are very scientific data-driven tools where they can look into several levels of the ground, do cross-sections, understand exactly what's happening with the movement of water, water levels. They have some that look above us now into the atmosphere and so on. So that's what we have locally. And it moves along. I know our staff here locally are very eager to demonstrate that any opportunity possible.
How different are your standards and service delivery compared to other conservation authorities?
So I don't have a measurement compared to other conservation authorities, and that is some of the data I would like to see, because from our perspective, we get permits on a regular basis, and I approve permits almost every single day, and then they come to the board at the next board member meeting, and we approve those. So we never get into a situation that I have seen where there's conflict over permit approvals. They seem to move along quite quickly. And our conservation authority is always open. The doors are open. We're right
right outside the 401. So everybody has access if they want to go in for questions or any help or anything like that.
Do conservation authorities collaborate at all?
Yes, well, we do. So on a regular basis, there is training opportunities. They've just shared a training opportunity with CLOCA, which is Central Lake Ontario Conservation Authority. They share staff sometimes if they have a staff member who has a particular expertise that can be useful. So those examples do happen. They definitely happen with the GRCA and their neighboring municipality or conservation authorities for sure.
So if you come together with other conservation authorities on a regular basis and you are able to collaborate, what's the difference between that and, say, being merged together with all these others and creating this new entity?
Well, that's the question. It seems to be functioning well right now, and I can't say whether there is a few out there that are struggling, and maybe there is. There are some that are very small, but if that's the case, then let's get to the root cause of those problems and fix them, and let those that are functioning well continue to operate under the system that they're currently operating.
The Ontario government is proposing a central agency to manage all conservation authorities. What do you think about that?
I have yet to understand how that will actually work. So in 2023, all the conservation authorities combined issued 11,000 plus permits. And of course, obviously, some have more or less, but approximately 305 permits per conservation authority. And they're very unique to that community. They're understood. They know their local area. And I don't understand how making one system with seven sort of satellites will speed up the processing of those 11,000 permits, especially if they're not local. I don't see how that will work. There will be one board, as I understand it, if this happens, for the entire overseeing agency, and then each one will have a board within itself. And I'm not sure how that will work either, since it's such a vast area.
McCarthy also contends that the current system is, and again, I'm quoting him here, holding Ontario back. Do you know what he means?
Well, from what I read, it does say that this will help put shovels in the ground faster. It will remove the red tape. Again, I would like to see the examples of that. I think it's very important that we manage our watersheds, manage our source water protection, manage floodplain risks, shorelines, and so on. So holding back, I think, is a very... depending on how you take that term, are we moving forward with building more houses, or are we making sure that we're doing it properly?
Well, that's something I'm interested in, because there are allegations from various organizations that this all has to do with development. Do you think that's true?
Well, with what I've been presented with so far, that seems to have a very compelling case. I haven't seen at all, like I keep repeating, a data set to show me where things are being held back. Show me what conservation authorities are struggling to issue permits and what are the circumstances around those permits.
Can we just step back for a moment and talk about the GRCA and its roles and responsibilities? Tell us, what is it that the GRCA does?
So ultimately, it is managing the watershed. So a big component of that is any type of natural risk, flood, erosion, shoreline damage, that type of potential integrity of our watershed. They're also responsible for source water protection. So those are sort of the main things that they do. Now, with that, they also issue permits, and permits can be for built infrastructure. If people are building a home somewhere where there is a risk of flooding or erosion or so on, there's also natural built infrastructure. If someone's building a pond, they want to make sure that that has integrity attached to that, as well as developments. So when a development comes forward from the municipality, they will assess using very scientific and data tools whether that development can be sustained on that particular piece of property. Those are their core functions. Then there's also elective things such as education, stewardship, and recreation. And those kind of things change from conservation to conservation. And then, of course, we have the forest. So we also have plantation forestry operation as well.
When people see those conservation areas that are in Northumberland, it's you guys that are running those.
The western part of Northumberland, yes. So we have Port Hope, Hamilton Township, Coburg, Alnwick-Haldimand. And we also include Clarington, Cavan Monaghan to the north, and a little piece of Kawartha.
And the outdoor education center that you operate, can you just tell us a little bit about that?
So the outdoor education center is up in the Ganaraska Forest. We have a vendor there, so we have that option to have other of the other uses using that space. A lot of schools come up there. It's a multi-purpose space, so we do have, it's an educational piece. There's recreation, people participating in their independent recreation, and then of course, as I said, we have logging up in that forest center as well.
One of the areas of concern is the loss of local expertise and a local approach. Does that exist at the GRCA? And could you maybe give us some examples of that?
Absolutely. So currently right now on the board, we have representation from those municipalities that I just listed. So we have people who are very, very familiar with the local area. Whatever concern comes forward, we have the local expertise. So if there's something happening in Coburg, we have two Coburg councillors who sit on the board. They can take those conversations back to council. They can take those conversations back to staff. We do have, at times, we've had members from the GRCA sit on our committees of council at our request, providing their expertise. And then we just have the relationship with our local planning staff and our administration at each municipality as well. So those relationships have taken a long time to develop, and it seems to function very well from what I've witnessed.
I happen to know that, for example, sometimes tensions rise up between the municipalities and the GRCA, and I know that in Coburg, there's been some controversy around the stormwater management plan and the GRCA compensating the town for its stormwater management fee. Can you bring us up to date on the status of that?
Well, that's still being discussed. So I don't want to interfere too much with Coburg Council, but just for a high level. So Coburg is... I guess the term that's commonly used is they have a rain tax to try to collect money on properties that, well, I guess any property, and is to control sort of the movement of rainwater and excess water. So they've gone through a process of eliminating some properties, farmland, and so on, and then charging a minimal fee for other particular properties. So they charge a minimal fee to the Conservation Authority, the GRCA, and the stance that the GRCA has said is that, well, our core function is controlling the flow of water and in the management of water through the town. The question is, why would we pay this fee when that's our function?
How close are you to resolving that?
That is Coburg is to resolve that, whether they want to continue with that fee or not and continue that. It's up to Coburg.
I understand, too, that area is not just a recreational area, that there is groups in the summertime and others that use it for recreational activities for the on the town's behalf as well. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that is true. So it's currently being used as a parkland, not necessarily as a conservation land. So that conversation has come forward as well, as to, you know, should it be a conservation land as its original purpose, or is it a parkland for the town of Port Cobourg? So there has been past MOU agreements. So that's all stuff that has to be worked out.
When you saw what happened with the Greenbelt scandal and the current government, do you worry if development will take precedent over environmental protection?
Yes, I do, of course. I struggle to understand how in such a huge area that we've already talked about, if there's a central body issuing permits, how could they possibly understand at that intimate, very close level what that landscape is where the development is being proposed? So if that body is sitting in Peterborough, let's say, is very central, do they how do they know at that level what's happening in Whitby and what's happening up in Cloyne, for instance? It's very, very different. And I do worry that it could be a blanket approach.
How important is it to you to have a local connection and local involvement in the GRCA?
I think it's absolutely critical for this purpose of what we're doing. It's about the land that we're on. It's you can see it with your eyes. You can go down, you can look at the river, you can look at the shoreline. You can see it. You're working with it every single day. It's very personal, and that's sort of the point, is we're protecting property, we're protecting infrastructure, we're protecting people. And you don't know it any better than a lived experience in being there.
I appreciate all of that. But for most listeners, I'm sure they probably don't even know what you guys do or that you even exist. Can mm-hmm. you give us any idea of, you know, usage stats or number of visitors or something that would indicate that the public actually does use this stuff other than to get approvals when the development is taking place?
I didn't actually bring any numbers with me right now, but that is a very good point. There are many people who believe the GRCA is a recreational provider for the forest. That's their core mandate, is to provide trails. And yes, the GRCA provides trails because we have the forest. There's those who believe that the GRCA is an environmental group, that is or an activist group. And yes, environmental is at the core of what we do. They go together. But there is that misunderstanding of what we do, and that a large part of the GRCA is going back to those data systems and technologies where they're cross-cutting the ground and looking at what's happening to the water underground. And that's a huge component of what we do, and that's often misunderstood.
How cost-effective is the GRCA? I mean, your budget is about $1.2 million from the local tax levy, which in the last year was, what, a 3.3% increase? How much do you get for the provincial government, and how cost-effective are you?
So I believe it's 54% of the budget comes from tax levies from the shared municipalities, and that's divided up by there's different equations on how to divide that up. And then 37% is from their own revenue sources, and 5% comes from the province. So it's very independently funded now, and that goes back to some of those changes that you had mentioned earlier on, as far as changes in different acts. Every time that changes, the budget doesn't go up. The GRCA has been able to find ways that's not pushed onto the tax levy. And as I said before, same with COVID-19, they were able to maintain that consistent tax levy.
Because I guess the amount of money that you get from the provincial government has remained the same since, what was it, 2019, when they reduced it by about 50% at that point?
That's right, yes. Yeah, they do have opportunities to apply for grants to the provincial as well as federal government for different projects. That's very project specific. So they'll take advantage of those grant opportunities as much as possible. But usually they need cooperation with the municipality as well that would benefit from that project.
And listeners might be surprised to know that you also have timber sales, which generate something like $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's often a conflict where there's those who love the forest and enjoy the recreation that the forest provides, but it's very important to note that the forest is also a habitat, an ecological habitat, as well as an actual functioning forest plantation. And there is significant logging coming out of that forest, and trees are planted for the purposes of logging.
Do you see any scenario where the money saved from the consolidation might mean more money to services and programs?
Well, it could mean more money to programs. However, the question is, how does that money now get dispersed in the new regions? So, as you said, there's a significant funding that comes into the Ganarasca Forest that is local. Now, if we share this entire region with a greater area, will that money stay local or not? Every conservation authority has reserves. They have property. They have buildings. How do those funds get distributed, or will they?
Will the GRCA consider a response to the proposed legislation before the deadline of December 22nd?
I believe so. So there is a number of conservation authorities who are sending letters to their local municipalities, asking them to endorse the letter that they have, where they've expressed their concerns and questions and thoughts, and sending them up to the province. So I believe the GRCA will most likely be doing the same. We have our meeting Thursday, this upcoming Thursday, so we will discuss more at that time.
Do you worry about the possible retribution from the government for speaking out as you have today?
No, I don't. You know, I mean, I'm here to be as transparent as I can be and try to be as fair as I can be. And I don't think I've spoken out of I've expressed, I think, very valid concerns that many people share. So throughout this process, I have expressed, show me the data, show me the numbers, show me the root cause and why we're doing this. And that will answer a lot of my questions. And if that information is not available, then please show me where the justification comes from.
So you mentioned that you have a meeting coming up on Thursday. What's next for the GRCA? What do you hope to come out of that meeting with?
Well, that's a big meeting for us. So that's also our budget meeting. So this kind of came on it. The budget meeting is always that particular time in the calendar. So we've got a lot to cover. You know, you talked about some local issues as well with the Cobra Conservation area and so on. So we've got a lot to cover. But we definitely will be talking about this potential. You know, I should stress that it is potential. It's not definite. And what that means for the GRCA. And at this point, it's really, how do we respond? There won't be any changes if it happens before the end of this term of council. So it's really, how do we respond at this point to this proposals?
Vicky Mink, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That was Port Hope Deputy Mayor and GRCA Chair Vicky Mink. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story,
please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.